See, I've got my beard shaved, I've got my hair cut, been pumping the guns. I'm ready for this. I wasn't ready for the video podcast last week, but I'm ready for it today.
Oh, I'm still not ready.
Yeah.
I didn't bring up, I had a spare gym t-shirt, but not a spare t-shirt, so I'm... Okay.
So you're activewear today.
Activewear.
Doing a podcast in my activewear. Anyway, right, good to go?
I'm good.
Cool. Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of A Stellar Podcast. Back again, episode 2 in 2020 with myself, Craig Simpson, and himself.
Jamie Hudson.
And we're filming this again today. It actually worked quite well last week.
It did, actually.
I was pleasantly surprised.
You just like it because you don't have to edit.
Yeah, that's you don't need to edit it too much.
It just means we've got to edit what we say, yeah. So it actually fits in the time frame.
But hopefully we've figured out how to solve the camera running out issue. So,
well, have you?
Yeah, I think so. That's why I'm using this external recorder this time. I see. It can last longer than 30 minutes.
I just thought you were losing your eyesight and you wanted a screen here rather than over there.
Yeah, it is quite nice, actually.
You get lost in your own eyes.
It just means I'm distracted down here. Actually, you'll be the one that's distracted down there because I can't see it over there.
But look, you can't really see that I'm looking at it. Like,
you can.
No, you can't. Look at the screen.
Oh, you can, kind of.
Oh, really?
Actually, I was chatting to my mate this week and he was saying...
don't believe you. Bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
No mates.
Yeah. He was saying what we should do is do like Instagram Live, these podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen YouTube Live ones. Or we could do that as well. But what he's got an Insta 360 camera and doing that live so people could tune in and we could just stick it right in the middle of us and people could look at us and look around the room and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And see we're not wearing any trousers, you know, that kind of stuff. That'd be pretty cool. So I'm going to try and set that up for the next couple of weeks. Well, actually the week after next I'm in New York. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, that might be pretty cool. Pretty fun, Sarah, to try out.
Anyway. You and Sarah should do a podcast in New York.
New York podcast. Podcast. Hey, I'm walking here. A podcast.
I don't know if you know much about New York.
I don't.
No.
I know like the Brooklyn accent.
I can tell you the difference between a Brooklyn and a New York accent.
I could tell the difference, I think. I could tell the difference, but I couldn't. Yeah. Anyway, that aside, this week I wanted to talk about LinkedIn. Now, we didn't look at it. We kind of brushed over it last week. I said that I was coming around your house, hijacking your kitchen. Yep. You were teaching me the ways of LinkedIn. Can you see if someone didn't know anything about LinkedIn or what it was? Can you describe it in like three sentences?
Three sentences. LinkedIn is the Facebook for people with jobs.
Cool.
That's one sentence.
That is one sentence. You've got another two if you want to expand.
But it's better than Facebook.
Okay.
And it's actually the stuff that you can do on top of just having a LinkedIn social page. So they own what used to be SlideShare and they can do LinkedIn Learning. So there's actually all this free stuff. Like someone will actually do like a 12-part training videos on and like seminars on how to use Excel or how to do like LinkedIn marketing or how to do all of these different things, and it's all free.
Okay.
So it's awesome.
So it's kind of like, I kind of see it, or I've been told, like I've only dabbled in it briefly, it's like Facebook used to be but for businesses. Yeah. You know what I mean? That kind of idea
in terms of in terms of like what people now use and put money towards, like in terms of paid
paid advertisement and unpaid publicity kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really cheap for what you get.
Yeah. So, like, I know you use it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I've only just started, like I said, again, before Christmas, I've only just started kind of venturing into LinkedIn because I've always thought, oh, business, you know? But actually, I've found that it is really interesting. I wouldn't say I'm still 100% won over by it, but it's probably because I don't really know how to utilize it the way I should be utilizing it. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, obviously you've got a bigger company, And are you in charge of marketing for that company?
Yeah.
Or are you marketing manager?
Yeah, I'm kind of in charge of all of that.
Yeah. So like how do you go about, like obviously from your perspective, how do you go about utilizing it? What do you use it for?
So we use it, so we have a company page, and unlike most of the people in our area who are trying to just go and kind of sell on it or say like, hey, here's a white paper we're doing, or come and see us at this conference, or click here to find out more about this service and all this kind of stuff. We just try and talk science.
Okay.
And people, and kind of try and target an audience or cultivate a community which is around the kind of science that we do, a lot of immunology and a lot of kind of drug development.
Yeah.
Like all of our clients, we kind of try and invite them to the page because there's conversations to be had on it and things like that. And so our strategy is to put as much content out as we can on LinkedIn for as long as we can, until, because that's where the attention is of all of our customers.
Is it that kind of way that we've discussed before, where it's you're basically building your reputation on that by providing value content and all that stuff?
Definitely.
So how often are you posting on that then?
So the company posts like today maybe four times.
You posted four times on LinkedIn today?
So we have, in terms of like graphic design, like proper beautiful posts, we're trying to do between one and two a day.
Wow.
And then...
You've got a dedicated guy for that though, right?
For doing the graphic design.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then anything over the amount that he thinks he can do in a week, or if something's really simple or just needs repurposed, he'll get a guy and we'll pay like 100 quid or something like that to get someone to tweak
stuff. Yeah.
So he's not really doing... He's doing quite a lot for the money that we're giving him, but he's more just of a tweaker.
Yeah.
And then you... News articles, research papers that we've read, all of this stuff that the people in, I think we've only got like 2,500 people following like the company. But
is that a lot for a LinkedIn thing?
A lot of our competitors don't have as many as that. Normally,
because you look at like Facebook page and there's so many million followers for this stuff, but LinkedIn's a lot more.
Because it's business. Who follows a business? we get quite good traction for some of our stuff, and we get business through it.
Yeah.
Like last Wednesday, we had one of the biggest, actually the biggest biotech drug developer in the world. One of the guys sent me a message through LinkedIn. I was like, "Oh, can you do this?"
Yeah.
And we were like, "Yep, let's have a call." Yeah. So we just set up a call. Like all of these different social pages, social media sites and pages are like what your website might have been in like 2005.
Yeah.
So you don't need to drive them to those pages. You can actually just cultivate a little community where people are going to be. And it's amazing how many people, in the same way that you sit on Facebook when you're on the toilet or when you're on your tea break or something like that, you'd actually be surprised how many people just check on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Like how do you find, like, do you advertise like on LinkedIn? Do you do paid promotions?
So we do paid campaigns, and we target either people in different regions, or people in different job types, or people with different products that they might be making or skills.
Because that was really cool. Like what you were saying to me before, when we were chatting about it, there was the kind of, you kind of ran through a scenario with it, and it was like, so right, say I do corporate video, like how would I utilize the paid promotions or to target who I'm like looking for?
So you could go, so if you, in the same way like on Facebook, someone who likes Rangers Football Club and you were selling something Rangers related or something like Orange.
Yeah. Okay.
you could find someone based on an interest or based on their location or all of this kind of stuff. So that's what Facebook can do.
Yeah.
You can do exactly the same thing with information on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So you could do it like, so you're selling a corporate video, right? Who might be in charge of a corporate video within a company? It might be someone marketing.
Yep.
So it might be a marketing director, a marketing manager. It might be... if it's a really big company, they actually probably will have like niche little departments, like not videography, but marketing assistant, all these different things, right? And you can actually make posts or target people based on a job title, based on a company. So maybe there's a company type or a company sector. It might be you're wanting to go after a company, your niche, you do biotech. You'll just find marketing managers who work at biotech companies.
Yeah.
You can go out there and you can actually tailor your message, which is just for those guys. Or you might be able to cut it in a different way because you've got like skills and things like that. So some people are, a lot of recruitment happens on LinkedIn. So you maybe put down some of like your interests, your recommendations, your skills. So for me, it might be like cell culture or PCR or holding a pipette in the right direction or using Excel.
Is that one of the skills you can put?
Pipettes.
Pipettes. Oh, okay. Hilarious. Holding it in the right direction.
You just assume that if you click that, you can do it.
I can write my name. It's a skill. Totally. I endorse
Microsoft,
that.
Microsoft Excel. So for you, you might put down, so it might be After Effects, or it might be this, it might be that. Yeah,
Premiere Pro, Blender, these kind of things.
And I guarantee that if someone was trying to sell you something like, the things you give away, I forgot.
Robots, hand puppets.
The hand puppets. No, what is it you give away? Your templates. Presets.
Yeah.
I was about to say templates, and I knew it was wrong.
Did you remember this? It's like hand puppets, robots.
So you could basically send a message out or put a post out to everyone who has After Effects or Premiere Pro as a skill on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Going, here's some presets for Premiere Pro.
Okay.
And then your post and link to all of your free stuff will land on their page, and the chances are they will see that.
Oh, nice.
So in the same way, so you can do all this stuff. So for me, if someone does like, one of their skills is like cell-based assays, and I send a message going, do you need cell-based assays? Chances are that guy is more likely to be interested than we drop poop on what plop.
We jot poop,
poop pong muck plop.
Poop. Okay, is this a name for your child?
I'm sure that was something from like Blackadder or something like that.
But it sounds like it. It does sound like it.
So him. That guy's more likely to be interested in what you're saying.
Okay.
And then that way you get away from this whole like putting out crap that no one wants to see.
Yeah.
You are putting out crap. Not crap. You are putting out your wares, but
one man's crap is another man's.
What does gold. Well? What does the send your preset out? So all your followers on Instagram, not all of them are people who are necessarily creators.
Yeah.
So you'll put it out there. You might get a little bit of traction. Chances are, if you put a little bit of money, or you've built a community where people will be interested in that, it's gonna fly off like hotcakes.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like, I hadn't thought about like publicizing them on LinkedIn.
For Blazing Rebel, she could set up our LinkedIn account, our company page, and target boutique businesses who sell stuff like that. It could be anyone. She could do it anyway, but it could be like retirement cards that she does.
Yeah.
And you could send it to anyone who is of a certain age or who has been at a company for like 20 years or has put retired as their job or all of these different things. You could just cut it in a way that's more likely to hit someone there.
Yeah.
Or if you're selling...
I'm trying to think of a scenario here. I'm looking around the room to see if I'm a product...
Like, Spartacus posters! so for like Gladiators a job or anything like that. Yeah. You know, the Kirk Douglas poster would obviously be good for them.
Yeah.
So for me, if someone was selling something to me, they might go, director of sales and marketing. So someone who's selling like bits of equipment or software that might be helping with like managing a sales team or like a HR team, they'll assume that I've got reports. So they might go, oh, here's a bit of HR software.
Yeah.
Or they might just go to the guy, everyone who's got a HR manager in their
team.
So it's basically the same as Facebook, but instead of cutting someone who likes Orange is the New Black versus The Walking Dead, you actually couldn't cut someone who goes, I use Microsoft Excel, or I know everything there is about 2x4s and you're a joiner.
Yeah.
Or, if I was a joinery company or something like that, and I was focusing on house builds, I would try and connect and try and build a huge relationship with a load of quantity surveyors who are pricing jobs, and the chances are they might give me a phone.
Well, what about like when I started mine, I basically focused on, because I was wanting to post content on it that people value.
Yeah,
obviously these kind of marketing directors or whatever might not be the ones that consume my content. Like, I posted one that was like the three best bits of like advertising or video or whatever, and it's like video, copy, and audio, or not in that order. But the people I want to see that are the more creatives in those teams rather than the people who are probably buying my services. But then how does that mean I should be building two different communities? People who like my content and stuff like that and learn from it, or and then the people who would potentially pay me to do it for them, kind of thing.
Well, you can put it out. You can put out both of those things. If you were putting money behind something, you could have two different trails. But you could still be pitching some of the creative stuff in a way that's you're kind of on their side and actually going, not literally, but like tell your boss why, like copy a bot or like tag a boss who needs to hear this. You know, the, these are the three most important things or something like that, and you like empower people that way. Or but I mean, we talk about biophysics and cell biology and all those things, and the scientists are not interested. Like one scientist here might not be interested at all in the other two things, but the content's there. They might just not like that one, but then something they will like.
I suppose there's always a chance that they go, oh, I know someone that does that, you know.
And yeah, so it's been, I actually had a phone call with another company this morning, a woman, actually she used to be my boss, and she's trying to set up a marketing bit in their biotech company down south. And she's like, I don't know where to start. Like, I want to hire a market manager, but I put this list together of all the stuff that I want them to do, and none of it is actually what they would ever teach you in university. It's because I want someone who can do like LinkedIn. I want someone who can create pictures and all that. I was like, well, that's not going to be a market manager. It's going to be a graphic designer and someone who's worked in an agency. So yeah, that's cool.
Because it's like marketing now has completely changed from marketing. Yesterday, for sure. Because like I was listening to, I listen to a lot of Gary Vee and stuff now, and he's all about the content. And we'll do another podcast on like social media and content and posts and whatever. But he was like, the amount of power that anyone has now, like to put up a video online or to get a video out there, 10, 20 years ago, you had it had to be like a multi £100,000 project. But now anyone can sit and record it on their phone and put it out there for, for millions, billions of people to see. Whereas a couple of years ago, it's like you had to get the camera crew, you had to get lighting, you had to get everything, you had to get scripting, whatever. But now people just post it on their phones.
Well, and it's up. I mean, my phone is like three iterations behind like the iPhone 11 Pro. But I still have 4K video.
It's like anyone can do it now. So like if you're delivering content to people on LinkedIn who are in need of these processes, you're providing the value to them that way. And again, it comes down to the kind of reputation thing where they might not want to do it themselves, but they're like, oh, he can do that. He knows about it.
There's also a weird kind of culture on LinkedIn and business and all these people that do things. And I think it's, again, a lot of the followers on of like Gary Vee's and stuff like this as well, is they live like vicariously through those people. So they want beyond anything, and I do believe they want to do this stuff. They want to have this amazing marketing strategy. I mean, even me, like, what we're doing is going really well, but like me and Chris, like, at work, we've been chatting about it, going, we've not even started yet. Like, we're nowhere near,
not scratched the surface yet.
Like, nearly. We're doing like what we believe is like quite a very average job. And we've still not planned anything out properly, but we want to do this stuff. And if you can get people engaged, the thing on LinkedIn is they're always like, you'll see these posts of people going, people don't leave their people don't leave their jobs, they leave their manager and all these things. And I was like, like that. Because everyone thinks they're the best business person, the best leader, the best so it's the same thing. You put up marketing stuff or content, all of these marketing managers and all of these content people are like, oh yeah, I totally agree, because that's me. And
that's one thing that annoys me about it, is everyone is up their own arse. Well, the majority of people are up their own arse. They have their little pictures of them in their tie, and they're just sitting there, and they're like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur.
But then if you go at it from a different way, they assume they're being arrogant, or I believe they're being arrogant because they think they're in the driving seat because they assume that you're trying to sell them something. If you actually go to them and go, and ask them for help.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised at how many people want to speak to you, because of course you ask me for help because I'm the expert.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, buddy. We've been doing a couple of like videos for biotech companies, but I see that you're like a marketing director at what looks like a big company, Played Aft.
Yeah.
How would you go about finding someone who could do this stuff?
Yeah.
Is it purely like I send you a link to all my videos so you can see it? Do I have to speak to you? Do I have to speak to them?
Yeah.
And the guy will go, oh, well, because you've come to me for advice and all that. We do it for some of our assays.
Okay. Like,
oh, you're an expert. Here's an assay format that we think is a sellable thing.
Do you think it is?
Do you think it's a sellable thing?
So you're not actually selling them. You're just asking their opinion.
Asking their opinion and advice.
It's clever.
Everyone on social media wants to tell you
their opinion
on stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And because people on LinkedIn are stuck up and a bit like hoity-toity,
yep.
The chances are they see themselves as the expert.
Mm.
Oh, you need me because you're selling a service and blah, blah, blah. So you just flip it and ask them for help, and the amount of people that give you help and they don't realize that they're doing exactly what you want them to do.
Yeah, and they're playing into your hands.
It sounds really manipulative, but it's just coming at it from a different way.
Yeah.
And the chances are, like, you'll actually build a better rapport because one time they might come to you and ask for help.
Yeah.
And then you can do the same thing.
That's pretty cool.
And that's a community.
Boom. Mic drop.
I can't.
No, don't touch them. No, that's really cool because, like, before Christmas, I was getting into LinkedIn. I've kind of died off it again, but...
You've got your finger in so many different pies. It's kind of hard as a one-man band to create that stuff.
But I am trying to get... I'm getting ideas together of what to post up there. But I'm trying to figure out where I should be focusing my energy. Because at the start, I was focusing my energy on the people who are going to consume my content, maybe get value from it, rather than the people I'm selling to, that I'm selling my services to, kind of thing. Almost to build that community first, so that people, I don't know, just kind of know what I'm about and all the rest of it, and then go and try and get the big fish or the fish that are out there. But then, it's all new to me. It's like a whole new world, this LinkedIn business.
I was actually thinking today of doing something, and my one was for like a completely different thing about like apprenticeships and educating teachers and stuff. A totally different thing. But I was thinking when I was talking to people about it, because we've got a huge lecture theatre at BioCity.
Oh, nice.
And I was actually saying, again, for you to get into biotech companies, well, there's 30 biotech companies at BioCity.
Mm-hmm.
What you could do is post an event on LinkedIn, get people to sign up for it around BioCity, or send an email out to everyone in BioCity, and I can book out the lecture theatre for you there. Mm-hmm. You get every company there, and you tell them how you should be doing a bit of marketing, how this might help and how this might help.
That's scary.
And then what you do is all of the Q&A questions that you get from it is a million different posts that you're going to get, and you're going to put up. You just do it for free. It's going to cost you £50 to book out the lecture theatre for a couple of hours. You do a bit of this, a bit of that, and you go, look, I do from the dirt and easy stuff to the really complex stuff.
Yeah.
And I can help, and I can do this, and I can do that. And then you basically ask for everyone's LinkedIn profile things there, because you'd love to be able to stay in touch with them and actually learn more about, oh man, it's just, I know it sounds like but it does, it's so amazing how these little things work.
Yeah.
Then you are now the in-house person at BioCity after a couple of goes. But you could record that. That's a YouTube video.
Yeah.
You cut snippets of it, doing your Gary Vee, put them on LinkedIn, because that's a question from them.
Yeah.
Which is, you've got an answer, because the chances are that business person, da 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 da, you then forward it.
See, that's
post it.
What you've just proposed there is a really cool idea, and I'd love to do it. But inside me, I would be terrified to do that kind of thing, especially right now. I'd just be like, oh my God, like, I haven't presented in front of people for a long time.
I know.
And like, I've taught like in university and whatever. And again, that's.
But the good thing about starting in the biotech bit is not one person there will not necessarily have a clue what you're talking about, but will be sitting there thinking, I've decided to spend an hour with you because I want to make sure that you know what you're talking about.
Okay.
It's nonsense. They're coming because they genuinely want to learn.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest things I had to get over when I do presentations.
Yeah,
They're not asking, it's not like your Viva. They're not asking you questions
to make sure you know it.
They're asking questions because they're genuinely interested. Yeah. And what they're going to do, if they haven't Googled how to make a bloody LinkedIn video by now, the chances are they're not going to Google to make sure that your answer was correct.
Yeah.
And the best ones as well is when you go, don't really know, and then you just think through it with them or something like that. And I can come with like a little moustache and I'll be like, Craig, would you say video is the most important thing? And you'll be like, yes, I do.
Yes, it is.
And
that video goes viral. Boom. Weird man.
Mic drop.
Weird man with mustache asks a silly question.
Get smashed out of park. But like, there's loads of little ideas that you can do. And that's, I know that wasn't very LinkedIn specific, but.
No, but that's
those, the chances are, if that person has a question, send out an email to like the guys you've done stuff with. If those guys have a question, the chances are other people have that question.
Yeah.
And then you just send that question out and maybe you put a couple of quid behind it and it lands on everyone's. Who is a biotech, marketing, and you start building that. Or you do one, the only reason why I thought of the biotech one, because it was a ledger theater there, but you know, just do like a meetup or something like that and get questions off of people there and people there and people there. And you can make that question into a million different bits of content, make it a meme, make it a thing and blah, 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 blah. Just again, exactly what Gary Vee does.
Yeah, and just like put it out on across all social medias rather than just that one.
And you can do LinkedIn Live through, not on LinkedIn, but you can do it's almost like Periscope. Remember what Periscope was on Twitter?
So is that still about
Periscope? Yeah, but I think it's owned by someone else.
Okay.
But you can do that so you can actually get your Facebook Live coming through this one system and then it can get everywhere. I was about to say shout out, but I thought that completely lowers the tone.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
So you can do it that way, and then you might actually do a LinkedIn Live or blah, blah, blah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got me thinking about like public speaking now.
but you can do it, or like just work up to it. Like actually speak to each of the people, like. You're on the phone or send them an email going, I want your help.
Yeah.
I've worked with a couple of biotech companies. God knows how, God knows why.
Yeah.
But they all seem to have this similar kind of problems. You're small, you're this, you're that.
What are you looking for? Like,
are you trying to get, how do you as a small company get yourself out there?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go, we've got no idea. It's like, well, what have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?
That's really cool. Turn it around on them. That's the moral of this podcast.
Yeah. Turn it around, manipulate. manipulate at scale.
Manipulate.
Yep.
Manipulate your way to the top.
If it worked for.
Yeah. Okay.
Belinda Blinks.
We won't go into that. That's not for this podcast.
No.
Anyway, yeah. Do you want to do some questions? We got some questions.
Awesome. None of which are for me to answer.
No, they're actually.
Do you want me to read them?
They're actually not bad. No, it's okay because they're kind of they're almost for both of us.
I'll try and keep my answers short,
short and succinct. Yeah. So, post it again on Instagram. So if you guys are wanting to ask me a question, post on Instagram. I am Craig_Stellar and Jamie is
Antibody Guy.
Ping us a DM over there, and every week before the podcast I put up a wee question thing and it says ask me a question for the podcast. So this is where these guys came from. First response was from Lexus9734 and he just says, I like your stories, thumbs up. I was like, I just wanted to put that on the podcast because it kind of gave me a wee confident booster, you know. But the first
failed at the first hurdle asking a question, but it was nice.
There was a couple of people that
did they end it with a question mark? I like your podcast.
I like your stories. Thumbs up.
Was there a slight inflection in the tone?
I don't know. But the first question actually came from my sister Karen at the Blazing Rebel, and she says, "Fallen off the wagon with all my photography / social media. How to beat the creative block?" Jamie?
Oh, as such an avid creative. Don't let it stress you out.
Yeah.
Because the more you try and think of something,
the amount of times
where you get like a solution to either a problem or I'm putting it to as a problem rather than a creative block, because I imagine it'll be the same thing. It's a stressful thing.
It is, yeah.
That you end up finding it when you're either going out for a run or I'm in the shower or I'm about to go to sleep or I've woken up or picking up a cup of coffee and something just clicks.
Yeah.
And just trying not to get too stressed about it.
It's always in the shower for me. I have my epiphanies in the shower.
It's because you take like 45 minute showers.
Or before I fall asleep. I do fall asleep like that, but before I fall asleep, I'm just thinking through things. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good now. I'm out.
And you wake up in a cold sweat, frantically writing notes.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever get those dreams where, like, you've like done something or you need to do something? Do you ever get, like, school dreams still?
I get dreams where,
like, you're late for maths and things like that.
No, I get dreams where I actually just dream about all the stuff that I need to do tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Work through them. Oh, it makes it totally easy though, because I've done it before. I'm like, oh yeah, I know how to write this email.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty good.
What about you? Mine wasn't really answering the question, but you
didn't. No, I'm kind of the same. Like, just don't panic about it, and you can't force it. You've just got to, or for me anyway. Like, I have a creative block all the time. If anything, I'm in a constant state of creative block. But it's just keep going. If you're wanting to take photos or whatever, just take your camera out with you anywhere you go. You might go out and just not
post it.
Yeah, either not post it or not even take any photos. But as long as you've got it on you, like, you might just be sitting having a coffee, be like, oh, the pattern in that coffee is quite cool. And then you take a photo of it and it's like, okay, or maybe could do something with that. Or it could just sit in my car for another couple of months. You know what I mean?
It'd be cool to actually, like, own the fact that you've got a creative block. You should put, like, questions up on your Instagram story going, I've got a creative block. Think of the most random thing that I could go and take a picture of and then make a design out of.
That's a good idea. Yeah, do that. Do that, Karen. Like, just ask a question and just say, what can I... Give me something to make a design from. And I'll do it.
You get some random people taking pictures of something random and you send it.
That'd be pretty cool. Ask for other people's photos and just be like... this, and then you can, like, credit them, and then tell them, you don't need to give them a cut of what you make, but it's like, just be like, yeah, that's a cool idea. Yeah, done. Another mic drop moment, done.
Smash this thing.
This is probably the only question that isn't related to anything that we do. Okay, this is from Aquamarine Warrior, and they say, hi Craig Steller, what's your favorite song?
Oh,
Jamie, what is your favourite song?
At the moment?
Yeah.
Or of all time?
I don't even think I have one.
The Middle by Jimmy Eat World is one which I could always listen to. Like, I don't think I've ever really got bored of it. I don't listen to it religiously. Yeah. But right now is Good News by Mac Miller.
Okay.
Rest in peace.
See, I have too many favourite songs. I would say
it's going to be Muse, and it's going to be like and it's going to be like Hysteria or something like that, because you love the bass intro.
Yeah, along with every other bass player in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that's a good tune.
I'm an absolute banger.
That is a good tune. No, I honestly don't know.
Okay, it'll be Muse. It'll be like,
you can choose for me. I quite like Newborn by Muse. One of the nice piano intro, and then it, like, builds up, and then it's like, I'll say that just now. It changes all the time. Sometimes it's like, do you know what I absolutely love? I absolutely love Bruno Mars. What's the song?
Not the one where he whistles.
The Mark Ronson Bruno Mars one. Uptown Funk. Absolutely love that. And did you ever see the video that was online, and they do, like, the movie mashup of people dancing to it?
No.
It is fantastic. I'll need to show you after this, because it's like the song's playing, but it's like a montage of, like, dance scenes from hundreds of movies in time with the music of that. Great. It's really cool. Go check it out if you've not seen it. It's fantastic. Anyway, moving on. Got a question here from Rogue Shutter, which is my friend Scott, and he's also won the Notebooks previously. There will be another competition coming up. I will let you know about that soon. But he's asking, what do you do if you hate your voice on camera?
Get over it. You can't change it.
Exactly. That's exactly what my answer was going to be.
Oh.
Because, like, everyone else hears absolutely, voice.
And I've got myself on the monitor. Yeah, on the headphones, here, right? Yeah. I'm hearing it and I hate it.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear a deep voice. I also think that when I listen to the podcast, I feel like I'm just like, it's horrible. But sod all I can do about
it. Exactly. So you can't do anything about it. Like, because everyone else hears what you sound like.
Yeah, apparently that's what I sound like all the time.
It is.
I mean, I disagree. No, like, you just have to get over it.
Either get over it, or it depends what you want to do. If you want to be on camera, then you could do. Do you remember the program Zap? and it was the handyman, and it was just the rubber gloves, and it was like demonstrating and stuff. So you could just do like hand gestures.
That's how you're going to get
sign language.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's how you're going to get around the fact that you don't like your voice, is not to try and change your voice. It's just to use your hands instead.
Well, yeah, it's probably more acceptable that. I don't know. I was going to say something really bad.
You could just do like on Father Ted, like just have the most exciting voice. So try and actually put a bit of thing in your voice.
Yeah.
Zing in your voice.
Zing.
Because obviously, like, I do it so well.
Of course.
Did you ask for the most? Like, yeah. I don't know why I went English.
You could do that. Yeah, but just get over it. You can't change your voice unless you change your voice, but that's hard work.
I think you should change your voice for the rest of the podcast.
Do you want me to do like an accent or something?
Yeah.
What accent do you want me to do?
Well, apparently you know the difference between a Brooklyn and a New York one, so.
No, I can't do those accents, so. I could do Australian. No, that's pretty shit.
I mean, you said you could do it, but if John was here, he'd be like South African.
South African. He can do South African all day, can't he?
All day.
All day. Anyway, moving on. Get over it.
Get out of here.
Lumix BW says, which camera you use? And at the moment, we're filming this on the Sony A7 III, which is an awesome camera.
He's made that up. That's not the name.
Then I actually forgot what it was, and I read it off the side of the camera. It's the A7 III. It's an awesome camera. I've been using it for a couple of months now. Done a few shoots on it. Filmed this podcast on it. 4K, good low light, awesome battery life. Pretty good. Okay, that's the one I'm using just now. So, yeah.
iPhone 10.
See, the iPhone cameras are meant to be actually amazing at the moment.
I know.
The iPhone 11 Pro and stuff is supposed to be a fantastic camera.
I was tempted by it.
Yeah.
Very tempted.
Are you not due an upgrade soon?
I am. I'm past the upgrade thing. I can buy one if I want, but I just...
You're over it.
I'm not over it, but it's like now you don't get AppleCare free.
Oh, really?
Oh, when I do the upgrade system.
Yeah.
So now you're already paying like £50 a month for the bloody phone.
Jeez.
So to then... I have to pay like an extra £8 a month just to pay £100 to get the screen fixed.
Yeah. That's pretty rubbish.
So the back of my phone's a bit cracked, but I've got 4K video if I want it. I'm not good enough and don't do it enough to get the most of it. So
see, at the moment, I know it will change when I upgrade my phone, but at the moment I'm rocking the iPhone 8.
Justin just got that phone.
And at the moment I am loving no case. No carefree, no case. That's what I'm calling it.
I was carefree, no case for so long, and then I smashed the back, and now I don't like the feel.
That's what cases are for.
Now I don't like the feel of broken glass on the back, so I put it in a big order box. Yeah. And Justine's like, "Oh, look, too little, too late." Yeah. That's how she talks. Yeah. That's why she's not on the podcast.
Does she actually ever listen to the podcast?
I have no idea.
Don't think so.
We don't talk. We're only married.
Probably not. Sarah listens to ours.
I know, but she tells you she listens. To
it's true. Well, she knows when I don't mention her. It's like, you didn't mention me this week. Anyway, so the A7 III for me and the iPhone
10.
10 for you. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, if anyone wants any photography tips, just fire it up. Antibody guy.
But like, I was on Instagram all the time. But I was looking for a kind of avenue to aim my presets down and stuff. So I was looking, you type in the hashtag amateur photography. And there's loads of awesome photos come up, and you write on them. It's like, great photo. Like, what lens did you use? Did you use a macro lens and stuff like that? Oh, I just shot it on my phone. I was like, you can shoot that on your phone now? It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. So
that's the inflection in your voice that you need all day, every day.
I've just got to talk like this.
That's what?
I've just got to talk really excited constantly.
Welcome to the Stellar Podcast. It's your myself, Craig, and himself, Jimmy.
Totally. Okay. So, next question. Got a person saying, follow my adventures. No, that's not a question. So, I'm not gonna ask that. But I'm not
actually going to follow. I'm just going to say I'm going to follow.
I'm just going to call you out Yeah, so next one's from Robin.
Oh.
You know Robin?
Who?
Yeah, Robin. Who's Robin?
The coolest dude in all of
Wrath. Those of you listening, Robin is our cousin. This is a
family podcast.
It's a very family podcast. It's like when you did like in Friends, the Geller newsletter and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like just, the it's Geller purely within the family. It's fine.
Yeah.
He asks, any tips on dealing with procrastination when working to distant deadlines? Jamie.
I am one of those people who, if I have a 5 o'clock on Friday deadline, chances are at 5 to 5, I will be starting it.
Yeah.
But
then what do you do in that procrastination time before that deadline?
Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Netflix. No, I try, at the moment I've tried to, I use like monday.com and I use like just time in my, like Outlook, so I get like a 15 minute reminder going, you need to do this account thing or this thing here or this thing here or this thing here, and I end up just getting like reminders all day to kind of keep myself on task. Oh shit, yeah, I need to do that. So I'll break down a project and then maybe just say write this bit, right, do that bit, do whatever.
Are you okay? Yeah, I was just checking we're still recording and still recording, so we're awesome. Fine. Yeah.
So yeah, try and break it down.
Yeah.
Or just accept the fact that I'm gonna leave it to the last minute and just try not get stressed out about it. I used to get people like, I used to be myself, and Justine was the same. We were both like last minute like revision and last minute finishing your dissertation and all this kind of stuff, and we used to get ourselves so stressed out and beat ourselves up about it.
Do you think there's anyone that actually uses a study timetable? Remember in school you were told to make a study timetable?
I can remember like that was my procrastination for revision, was making it the most color-coded.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's like,
oh, I'm going to start studying today.
Oh, but I need to have a color-coded.
I need to have a study timetable. Yeah,
a master schedule and then the sub-schedules and all this kind of stuff. And I'd be like, oh, I feel so prepared for my exam in 45 minutes.
Exactly. But I think for me, like, I usually don't have very distant deadlines. Like in the stuff that I do, like my whole thing is turnaround time is pretty quick, so it's all it's like gotta get it done.
You're like super proactive though.
Not really. I wouldn't say so. The fear gets to me, that's what it is, which makes me do things. And if I finish it early, then awesome. But I very rarely finish it early. But so like procrastination dealing, like you say, just do it earlier. I don't know. Like, if there's distant deadlines, maybe, like you say, like, use Monday.com or whatever and organize, make sure you plan ahead kind of thing, so you know how long it's going to take you. So if you do procrastinate, know when you need to start actually working on it.
So I set up, like, little tabs on Monday.com where it gets, like, these big red exclamation marks. And I'm the kind of person who can't have unread emails on inbox and stuff like that. So you see when you see, like, my to-do list and there's lots of, like, exclamation marks and not done. And all these things written beside it, that's when I'm like, oh, I need to do this. And procrastination wise, like, even when I go home tonight, I'll do the dishes, I'll do this and do that, because I know it's like my fear of laziness, which I know I'm inherently lazy. So I'm
as soon as I sit down.
So I just delete stuff off my phone, which is not useful.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Do what Justine does and just get a really, like, before that phone, she just had like a shit phone and no social media apps actually loaded.
Yeah.
So just like go back to Nokia 3210. It's like, well.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool. I think have we answered that? I don't know.
No idea.
Don't know.
Let us know next week at 5 o'clock if you actually managed to do anything.
Yeah. The next question, or the last question, is from Cine Director Films, and basically his response to the question was just content with a muscle, and I was like, so I messaged him saying, what are you all about? I was like, hey, thanks for the response. Is content a question? Is there something you want us to talk about? And he said, yeah, how do you keep consistent and uniform look in your posts after using a similar camera? After using similar camera settings and different times of day and locations. I think this means like the kind of Instagram feed and stuff, how to kind of keep that
pretty
consistent and pretty. Well, it depends really what you're photographing.
Yeah.
Obviously having a feed can be more like your theme of your feed could be microphones, and every photo could be a microphone. So it doesn't need to be based on like your camera settings and things. Mm. Is this making any sense? But if you are basing it purely on like photography and camera settings and keeping colors and stuff the same, then using presets, hint, hint, new presets coming soon, for free.
Yeah, man, this isn't someone direct. This is Stellar Craig.
So like presets help you keep the same color tones and stuff like that. So if your camera settings are the same, then use a preset and get the same colors each time. And it also helps to make sure your white balance is equal across the board. So all your whites are always white rather than tinted blue or tinted yellow or orange or whatever. But so that's my tip. Jamie, have you got any input on this? in your extensive camera knowledge.
Care less,
yeah. That's it.
If you overthink it, you're not going to do it.
Yeah,
not for sure. And if you make it really, really like tough like, on yourself, as it's got to look this exact way, then yeah. You're not going to get the level of content.
It shouldn't be a stress, and I've been guilty of it, like stressing out over it. But
again, you've got a different stress because you're like... you're selling those services. If yours looks shit,
kind of, yeah.
But keep it lively and like the stories and stuff. But yeah.
Just have fun with it and don't worry too much about it. You'll find your kind of theme and stuff as you go along. And
but I think you've probably put a lot of pressure on yourself by starting that way.
Mm.
So now you want to ramp it up. You're like, oh crap, how do I move away from this?
Yeah,
or not
sure.
Move away from it, but how do I make it slightly less perfect or slightly changing it? Because now you've got this beautiful system that's going. Whereas mine is just nonsense.
But that's good though. It doesn't matter. Like I say, it doesn't matter what you post as long as you post.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And if you want to make it look nice, then make it look nice, but don't stress out about it.
Don't stress.
Done. Anyway, on that note, we are about 46 minutes in. I think we should call it a day. That was pretty good.
Bye then.
Thank you for enlightening me a bit more about LinkedIn, and I promise I will do better on it. I promise.
Just pick off one thing and just go and do it.
Yeah. So it's like what I want to do is say I'm going to mark this as like the first one in my social media chapters. So I'm going to do one maybe on like each kind of social media outlet and maybe just a social media in general. Is social media good or is it bad kind of stuff? That kind of thing. And I'm going to do interviews and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, that's going to be the first one down, LinkedIn. It's probably going to be maybe the dullest for most people, but for some people, it's pretty interesting. And I'm starting to see the interesting side of it.
Do you know what you should do?
What?
Post the podcast on LinkedIn.
What?
Yeah, take transcripts from it. Not that my opinion's
break it down
worth and, much, but yeah. Like just chop up into like a load of different things.
No, boom, for
content.
Sure.
Boom, boom.
Content, right. Content. Anyway. Content. Anyway, thank you again so much for listening to this podcast and watching this podcast. And for those of you who did watch it last time on YouTube, thank you so much. And left a couple of comments. Be great. If you want to contact us over on our Instagrams. I'm at Craig_Stellar. I need to put my teeth in. Jamie, where are you?
I'm not the antibody guy anymore, am I?
You're just antibody guy. But send us a DM. Please like this podcast wherever you listen to it. Follow us. The volume's down. Follow us wherever you're listening to it as well. Please subscribe to your YouTube channel. Leave us a comment. Give us a like. Leave my sliders out of this. But that's about it. If I've forgotten anything,
it's my fault.
Let me know. And yeah, love you lots. Say bye, Jamie.
Bye, Jamie.
Oh, you did it that time. See you later, everybody. Bye.